Welcome to I've Never Seen Star Wars. Good evening, I'm Marcus Brigstock, and this is the show in which I invite and occasionally force my guests into trying things they have never done before. Ordinary things accessible to all of us. Stuff you've always wanted to do but haven't yet had time for, like bursting Michael Winner with a fork. Now, my guest tonight has been the doyen of popular television programmes for over four decades, as well as being a campaigner and champion of many worthy causes. Please welcome Esther Ranson. Good evening, Esther. Welcome. Thank you very much for being my guest. Now, you're not too scared of trying new things, are you?
I hope I'm not. I think you ought to try things, even if you don't like them at first. Things may change.
Now, Esther, you're not particularly afraid of technology. You haven't sort of shied away from mobile phones and computers, emailing, all that sort of thing.
No, that's fine.
But you haven't got involved in social networking.
No.
What I asked you to do was to set up a Facebook profile for yourself and see how it is to make some online friends.
Yes.
Okay, well, let's have a listen to you just setting up your page.
Join Facebook to connect with your friends, share photos and create your own profile. Fill out the form below to get started. Full name. Esther. I-N-T-Z-E-N. Right. Oh, there's loads of bleeding Esther Ransons on Facebook. What on earth is this about? Do you know there are 22 people who've joined the campaign to get That's Life back on the telly? Good Lord. All this going on that I knew nothing about. That's Life Sausages Dog. 9 members. I want to join them. E. Search. Marcus Brigstock. Lovely, eh? Add as friend. Marcus will have to confirm that you are friends. How sweet. Ooh, I can see all his friends now. He has 1,032 friends. What a liar. Oh, I'm feeling very inferior now because I've only got 3 friends and he's got 1,322. One friend request already. Let's have a little look. Right, so what do? Just click on confirm. I am now friends. So now what do? Just hit there. I think I'll poke her. That's pretty pointless. A pointless poke. I've had those before.
That's very pleasing indeed. How's the poking going for you, Esther?
Do you know, I've never blushed on radio before.
No. But I tell you what, it's strong enough, I know people at home will be able to see it.
Oh, dear. Well, I thought that I didn't really enjoy that experience.
You didn't?
No.
Right, why not?
Well, because I'm used to meeting the people I already know and like, but I don't understand why you would sit at your computer and just roll through pictures of people you know who are giving you a sentence about what they're doing. Mm. Rebecca is sitting feeling happy today. Well, but I really don't get what social networking of this kind is about. Actually, I tell a lie, because that little group of wonderful intellectual, artistic elite who are trying to bring back the That's Life sausage dog.
Yes.
One has to say, you know, I still can do sausages.
And there are 22 who want to bring back That's Life. Now that you're on Facebook, I can see that reaching 24, 25 people. Maybe. Just immediate family's got to swell the numbers somewhat.
Just to get me out of the house. So is there a way on Facebook that I could have put up a thing that said, do you want to bring back the sausages dog?
Yeah, you could say, let's bring back Prince, who I'm assuming is now dead, so this is pretty sinister.
Yeah.
Let's reanimate a dog that's died, a la Pet Sematary, the horror film. But yeah, you could put that out there. You'd send that to all of your friends, and then you hope that your friends will send it on. And eventually it'll reach my inbox, and I go, right, this is the kind of person then that sends these sorts of messages, and I delete you. That's how it works. Okay, so social networking then. It doesn't sound to me like you've particularly enjoyed it. Have I persuaded you of any of its merits?
I think I might say to you now that it doesn't satisfy me, but then quietly in the still of the night, I might tiptoe down and have a look at it, because I can see that you do get curious.
Yeah, absolutely.
You do think, wait a minute, what other funny groups are there here?
Oh, there's any number of funny groups.
Okay.
There's the When I'm Bored, I Go on Facebook and Join Tons of Useless Groups. That has 12,800 members. Now, there's one, it's not actually called this, but I can't say what it is called, so I'm going to call it the Fantasy Bank of Shame group. What it's actually called, the word fantasy is replaced by a word that rhymes with bank. This is a group for people who feel a little guilty about who they fancy, and it says, did you swoon over Esther Ranson when you were 13 instead of Farrah Fawcett Majors?
You made all that up.
No, I didn't. That's absolutely true. I am a member of this group. But I have emailed them to say not instead of, as well as Farrah Fawcett Majors. There's also, there's one saying, I bet I can find a million people who have two legs. That one has 150 members. So I don't know who set that up. Heather Mills, maybe. social networking, then. What would you give it out of 10?
4.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, you don't have to apologise. The whole point is to try the new thing. And,
okay.
You know, if you like it, who knows? You may grow to like it. But Esther Ranson says social networking gets 4 out of 10. Now, Esther, when I came to talk to you about this programme, you made something of a confession about a thing that you had never tried. Now, in this day and age, this is a gadget that many women have tried and freely admit to having used often, both alone and sometimes with a partner. I know this is Radio 4, and forgive me if the language gets a little steamy, but you had never used... Can I say this? I'm ready for an iron. I think we sold the dummy there, didn't we?
That's not quite fair. I have ironed a lot of things, provided that they are flat and square. So I can iron sheets, table napkins, and handkerchiefs.
Right. You could iron Cliff Richard if you're after flat and square.
I'm going to ignore that. I can iron tea towels, but I can't iron anything with bends in it, and that means things like sleeves. Mm. So I have never, ever, ever ironed a man's shirt.
Right. Okay. Well, you're not alone. There are. I did a bit of research. There are many great women who've never ironed. Cleopatra, Boadicea, and Amy Winehouse. So, okay, well, I'm going to get you to iron a shirt, but I need a man's shirt. Is there any man here in the audience tonight who would like to leave here and say, Esther Ranson ironed this shirt, and not only that, it's the first shirt she's ever ironed? Somebody, there's a hand up over there.
Wow.
Thank you very much, sir. Make your way, if you can make your way down here.
Has it got long sleeves?
It has got long sleeves
that you rolled up, so it'll be a bit crumpled. How do you do? Tell me your name.
Ed.
Ed. Yeah. Thank you very much, Ed. You're nervously rolling the sleeves down.
I'm starting to regret it even now.
Why? Why? Now, may I unbutton you, Ed?
There you go.
Can I ask how old you are?
I'm 22.
22. And that shirt is not ironed, so from that we know that you're not married.
I'm not.
And do you do your own ironing?
I, I don't do any ironing.
No.
And no one does it for me. Either,
right. So.
That much is clear from that shirt. Ed.
Yeah, it's
now, Ed, would you like a T-shirt to wear while we do this?
No,
we
not necessary. Come on, Ed. Oh. Now, if I'd understood ironing had this sort of perk, I would have done it long ago. Now, do you care about this shirt, Ed?
Not hugely.
No, I can understand that. Ah, this thing is steaming.
So's Ed, to be honest.
Well, now, look, there's a flat bit. I can do that. You're supposed to be helping me, Mark.
I am helping you.
You're not. You're standing there making jokes.
Well, this is the way that men help women with the iron.
Right.
One thing to be very wary of, Esther, when you are ironing, if you're not that familiar with it, is if the phone rings...
Yep.
Step away from the iron. The temptation to lift it up and ask who's there is very, very strong. I had a great uncle who lost an ear that way.
Right, you see, now I can do these flat bits, but the bits between the buttons...
But this is very good. I mean, look, you're working your way in between the buttons. I think the truth of this is not that you couldn't iron a man's shirt, you couldn't be bothered to iron a man's shirt.
Yes, maybe. My husband used to say I never knew where the Hoover was kept. And as long as he thought that, I was happy. Now, look, you see, I've made a crease. This is what I do.
Yes, you've ironed a crease into the shirt there, which that is fractionally counterproductive. But you see how easily it comes out? How
do you
go at the pocket?
It's spat.
Yes, there has been a small emission.
It's spat, you see.
But that's okay. I mean,
is it? That dries off.
That'll dry out nicely.
Okay. Do you want to try it on, Ed?
Go on.
Put it on. Now, it wasn't ironed when you came here, and now it is. And let's have a look at you. What do you think, ladies and gentlemen? How does he look? Pretty good? There we are. Ed, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Ed. Thank you.
Now, you see, that, to me, that's a thing you've obviously tried and not enjoyed, I think.
Well, I found it oddly satisfying.
Ah.
You know, I like the warmth of the iron.
Yeah.
I like the fact that you've got a crumpled bit and it turns nice and smooth.
Mm.
And I like the fact that Ed was 22 and I unbuttoned him. So I can see nothing wrong with that experience.
So, essentially, if Ed were willing to come round and undress... Your ironing career could be about to take off big time.
Well, it's better than Facebook, I tell you.
So, out
Eight.
Of 10?
8. I'm putting that well above Facebook.
Okay, there you are. 8 out of 10 for ironing a man's shirt. I want to talk about music. Now, I asked you to listen to my favourite album of all time. And this is, I'm genuinely passionate about this, and I asked you, have you ever listened to Dark Side of the Moon? And you said, I haven't even heard of Dark Side of the Moon.
Never.
Never listened to any Pink Floyd?
Never.
Mercy me. It's a wonder you've got by. What did you make of it? Be careful now.
There's this thing on it called Breathe, and for a long time... I thought something had gone wrong with the... because there was absolutely nothing happening, and then you eventually heard a heartbeat, OK? And then, you know, there were cheerful words on it, like, hanging on in quiet desperation is the English way. Mm. The time is gone, the song is over, thought I'd something more to say. Well, frankly, so did I. But then, you see, I listened to it all the way through and I thought, this is going from depressing to more depressing to even more depressing. And you know, if you're 15 and you're covered with zits and you're looking at yourself in the mirror and you think, nobody loves me and I've only got 3 friends on Facebook and it's all... You see, I can understand that. And then I played it to myself again and I liked it more. And then I listened to it a third time and I liked it even more.
Excellent. You've fallen into my web.
I think there's something about the... I'm sorry they're so upset with life, and I wish that I could When was this made?
1973.
You see, I could have met them then and really cheered them up. And I could have explained to them...
Had you cheered Pink Floyd up, you would have ruined my life. Can you imagine a perky Pink Floyd album? I can't think of anything more ghastly than that. But they are... I mean, this is an album that has sold approximately 40 million copies. It's been in the Billboard charts for 1,500 weeks, longer than any other album in history.
There must be an awful lot of depressed people around.
Oh, you've no idea, Esther. Do you know, if you feel low and you feel angst-ridden and you feel confused about the world, something like that reaches out and it touches you and it tells you, as a kid, especially when I first heard it as a teenager, that there were adults who felt like this, and you're not alone. It's like Facebook. It's so much better than Facebook. I regret having said that. I try and put music on when I'm doing other things, and if I put Dark Side of the Moon on, I can't do anything else.
No, I can understand that. There's that very odd bit with the lady who's caught her toe in the mousetrap. And I tried to do something...
Now, hang on a second. The lady who's... Are you referring to the great gig in the sky?
Well, that may be what you call it.
This is a fabulous piece of music. And a toe in a mousetrap. Right, let's have a listen to this. Of a woman with a toe in a mousetrap. But that tune, that particular song, if I'm feeling low, if I'm feeling down, it's the perfect reflection, you know, because it seems chaotic and she seems to be tumbling through time and space and wailing and all the rest of it. But if I'm feeling happy, it works equally well because she's soaring above the music with that incredible improvised harmonising. I just find it so inspiring.
Have you ever tried ABBA?
Yeah. That's just not quite the whole Swedish vibe, not quite grabbing me to the same extent.
Because there's a song here about money.
Yes.
And I was looking forward to money, money, money.
But did you like Money? The Pink Floyd tune, Money?
Do you know, I quite did. The beginning was a little bit mysterious because I thought it was that...
Here it is.
It's that, I'm free. That
Are you
one.
Being served?
Are you being served?
How dare you? Third floor tights and lingerie. Oh, you've ruined that as well. This is the greatest album ever recorded. This is the second most popular album to come out of Abbey Road. They didn't say what the first one was. Well, this was... It's a concept album. It's ruined. It's ruined. I'm going to have to buy ABBA's greatest hits. That's not going to happen. So, listening to Dark Side of the Moon, greatest album ever recorded, for the first time ever.
Well, if we don't count the first time, if we count the third time, then I would actually give them 7 out of 10. I think they're very clever.
Yeah.
You know, I just wouldn't like to be stuck in a lift with them.
That would be my ultimate dream. Okay, health. Now, what about lots of the things that so many people are into now, the alternative therapies? Do you dabble in those?
I do not dabble in those. I don't believe a word of it.
Not a word of it?
Okay. None of it.
All right. Well, I have asked you to try reflexology. And we've got a reflexologist here. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rima Shah.
Hello.
Good evening, Rima.
Hi.
This is Esther.
Hi, Esther.
Now, Rima, if I just hand Esther to you, can you take over and get this going?
Yeah. Now, what you need to do is take your shoes off and come and sit down for me, and then I'm going to recline you back.
I do have a problem I'm going to share with you. And that is the reason I have never, ever had reflexology. Yeah. And that is because I am so ticklish that I cannot bear anyone touching my feet.
Okay.
This should go well.
This is going to be so I am going to sound like that very nice track on your album. Maybe that lady was having reflexology.
Could have been.
Wow.
Now, just tell us, what's the theory behind reflexology?
Now, the theory behind it is that there are pressure points on the feet and then they link with parts of the body, and if there's any sort of disharmony in the body is the best way to describe it.
Disharmony?
Yes, so disharmony. Yeah. So if, for example, you've injured your shoulder, there's a muscular strain, or some people have digestive problems, that can come up in the pressure points on the feet, and that can come up in different ways.
Okay.
And for someone who's a cynic, I know that's very, very hard to believe.
I am a bit of a cynic.
And I know a bit of...
So Esther's feet are up in the air, and Rima's just positioning herself.
Ah!
Whoa, there we go.
There we go.
With the sole of the foot towards her.
Now, the sort of... let me show you on your leg, the sort of foot movement. I'm going to literally press like this on your feet. And it's generally quite a firm and steady pressure. So let's have a go.
What are you feeling, Esther? Is that pain?
I think it is.
Or is that laughter?
Do you know, it's a bit like ironing. You can get used to it. Maybe it's the beginning that is horrible. Where are you? What bit of my body was that?
That bit. That bit is near your diaphragm.
My diaphragm?
Yeah.
The diaphragm is being stimulated.
Yeah. If there's areas of congestion, it can. What happens? It feels like bubble wrap under when I'm working under the thumb. It's sort of, you know, popping.
Bubble wrap.
You know, if you have your foot. Have you ever had your feet massaged?
Absolutely not.
Never.
I'm married to a massage therapist.
And she never massaged.
I went to boarding school. I've got issues around touch.
That's fair enough. It also helps stimulate the nervous system. Helps the blood circulation around the body. Helps elimination.
Elimination.
Yeah.
Right. Well, don't start anything now. Esther, if you feel an elimination coming...
I'm not working the digestive organs, you're okay.
Okay, but you can stimulate the whole digestive area.
Go on, work them, see what happens.
I'm going to move fractionally further away. Am I right in thinking that the toe bone is connected to the foot bone? And the foot bone connected to the...
That bit hurts like hell.
Yeah. It might just be your feet, though.
Might just be my feet. I agree with you. But if it isn't my feet, where is it?
That would be around your digestive organ. That would be around the colon.
The colon?
Yes.
Right. Do please be careful. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Rima Shah, thank you very much.
Thank you. Let me get you back up again.
Okay, so reflexology, what would you give that out of 10?
Naught. I'm sorry, Rima.
It's not for everyone.
Although, in fairness, if it had been Ed rubbing your feet, I think we could have got at least 2 points there. Okay, now, literature. Now, you studied English literature at Oxford.
Yeah.
But there was one author who you said you hadn't touched. Who was that?
I never read a word of Evelyn Waugh. Right. And that was because I knew about him. Mm-hmm. And I got a picture of a snob, somebody who was quite probably bad-tempered, who didn't enjoy mixing with people that he felt were his social inferior or his intellectual inferior. Mm. And I just thought...
But you get on with me, and that's...
Yeah, I know, but I'm sorry for you.
So I asked you to read one of his most popular books, which is Scoop. What did you make of it?
Well, I think it's wonderful. I don't want it to end. I am relishing every word of it.
I'm so pleased to hear this. This is fantastic.
And what it proves is that... great artists don't have to be nice people to be great artists.
Thank you. Oh, I see. Sorry. Yes, no, quite. Even more. Yes, yes. We should explain the thrust of the story without wishing to spoil it. I can't fully spoil it because I haven't finished it either. William Boot, who is a young man who lives in the countryside and writes a simple column, is mistaken for another Boot and sent off to be a foreign correspondent for a newspaper named The Daily Beast. There's no way of knowing what paper that's meant to be, ladies and gentlemen. I know which one I've chosen. But he's sent to a fictional African state of Ishmaelia, and there's a civil war threatening to break out, and the presence of Boot and the other journalists begins a war in that country, which I was able to find some parallels with modern life in that.
Yeah. But the other thing about it is the language. Now, there are bits of language which he would absolutely be arrested for.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say a couple of the words he used, and I can say Yid because I'm Jewish.
Right. Brace yourselves, Radio 4.
But he uses the word Yid a lot in this book, and it's not a word you ever see now. Obviously not, because it's so central to all the anti-Semitic abuse that gets held about. But he also uses the word nigger. And you just would not hear that on the radio. In fact, that might just have been bleeped.
Well, there's every chance that I will now have to say there are words in the book that Evelyn Waugh uses, including the N-word.
Yeah. We now have rules which say that words are evil. And I think sentiments can be evil. That stirring up racial injustice or prejudice is terrible.
Yeah.
But the word itself is a word. Mm. To me, it is censorship to say, you cannot say that word. Actually, it is odd that Evelyn Waugh uses it and uses it unselfconsciously. But it is interesting to like a style, to recognise the intellect of a man while heartily disliking who he is.
OK, so Evelyn Waugh's scoop, which you had expected to hate, what would you give it out of 10?
11.
11 out of 10 for Evelyn Waugh's scoop, ladies and gentlemen. There we are. Wow. OK, so of all the things that I've asked you to try for the first time this evening, which has been your favourite? Which are the things that you're looking forward to going back to after this?
Do you know, I'm going to say something really that surprises me. The two most pleasurable things were obviously Scoop.
Yeah.
But Pink Floyd.
Oh, bless you, Esther.
I am surprised that I actually, in spite of what I said, I would quite like to hear that again.
Ladies and gentlemen, Esther Rankin.